The Play Action Podcast is fueled by Picasso's Pizza, where every night is pizza night.
The Buffalo Bills coming off one of their biggest wins of the year in Detroit, 48-42, and now the Bills have scored 30 or more points, eight straight games, ties the NFL record for in one season. They can set the record with nine straight this Sunday against the New England Patriots. New England 3-11 and is 24th in points allowed. Bills now second in points allowed, still be just slightly behind Detroit. Catherine,
points scored. Yeah.
Nine straight. You think they can do it?
I think they can.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Even if they weren't playing the Patriots, there's so many teams I think they could put up 30 against just based off how they've been playing.
Yeah.
But you look at New England, yeah, I think they're going to set the league record here. Let's start Bills offense versus this Patriots defense, just kind of as we go into whether or not they can capitalize on them. What stands out to you, Mark?
Well, I mean, New England's defense, this is a reboot rebuilding year for the Patriots defense. They traded away one of their best pass rushers in August, and they are weak at edge rusher.
They are
a team. They think they have the quarterback of the future in Drake May, but they have so many holes.
Oh my gosh.
And
yeah.
One of their biggest holes on the team is edge rusher. They are 27th in total sacks, 27th in sack rate, and they have blitzed a lot. One of the top blitzing teams, and so we saw one of the fascinating chess match discussions going into the Detroit game was Detroit likes to play man coverage. Detroit tried to stick with man coverage. Josh Allen historically and this year destroys man coverage.
Yeah.
And Josh Allen, surprise, surprise, destroyed Detroit's man coverage.
How could we have seen that coming?
Yeah, and I mean, while rewatching the tape, they tried to spy him, too. In fact, there was a couple times where they rushed three, kind of had two spies, and that didn't work either. So I don't know what New England's answer is. I do not think playing a lot of man coverage is the thing to do. I think the thing for them to do is try to die a slow death and try to sit back and play zone if they can. That would be my guess, because I just don't think, I don't know what there's no good answers from the pass rush standpoint.
No, and even just the defense in general, I think, you know, they haven't been able to stop teams this year. You said, 3-11, there's so much that they still need to do for the future. But even this season, they just haven't been able to get things together.
Yeah, I think their run defense on paper has some answers. They have a super talented defensive tackle in Christian Barmore, but he has only played the last four games. He missed all those games because of blood clots. So he missed the first nine or ten games of the season. He's only played four games. He's still working back. He has not been his old self.
Exactly.
And then, you know, they've got another big, beefy defensive tackle in Devin Godshaw, who is massive, you know, but he's past his peak at this point. So their run defense is 21st in the league, not terrible yards per carry. They're 14th. They can't stop people on third downs because they don't have a pass rush. Let's divert from them. Let's talk a little bit. How about the contributions of Ty Johnson? If we're talking about most underrated quality contributor on this team, Ty Johnson might be the answer.
I talked to him after the game, wrote about him, so talked to a bunch of guys about him, actually, and Josh Allen was saying, I think he's the best third down back in the game.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but go
no,
ahead.
No, but that's high praise from your quarterback.
Yeah, and he has been great.
He's been really great. He's coming off a career high of 114 receiving yards. And just the way they used him, even early in the game, he told me he kind of had an idea that based off, you know, the Lions playing man, that they were going to have some opportunities for him. And Joe Brady got him going early, two big plays on the first drive.
And then he caught another one on the wheel route, which was a good pass, but it was not that easy a catch. It was a 31-yarder up the side. And both plays, that one was a rub route where they schemed him open there. That was a great, you know, scheme. And Dawson Knox did a good job of not interfering, just getting in the way. But the first pass, the second play of the game, that was just beat. We're going after their linebackers. They like to play man. Okay, let's see you play man here. And Ty Johnson burned him. So pretty impressive. And, you know, Ty Johnson playing on a one-year contract. Boy, they got to keep that guy.
Yeah. It was fun, too, talking to other running backs about just the camaraderie of the room and how, you know, they recognize they all have slightly different skill sets, but they also do a really good job working together. You know, James Cook, Ray Davis, they were so excited about Ty Johnson's game and just saying they see all the work he puts in and they weren't surprised at all.
I think it's reasonable to think they could keep him. Ty Johnson's a really smart guy. I would like to think he would, I mean, see that playing with Josh Allen is going to be the best. Maybe he could get more money somewhere else a little. I don't think, you know, obviously he's not going to break the I would hope from the Bills standpoint that Ty Johnson would say to himself, my best chance to make an impact as a football player is to stay here with Josh Allen. So, you know, certainly he's a guy they want to keep. And you know, and now let's talk again, going into the season, how are the Bills going to beat man coverage? It was a giant worry.
Right.
Is Keon Coleman going to beat anybody? And, of course, the addition of Amari Cooper took that question, you know, gave them a much greater answer. But you look at the way they attacked the Lions, man coverage, you know, Knox, Ty Johnson, Kincaid, Shakir, of course. They didn't even need to target Amari
right.
Cooper, and they trashed. Now, granted, the Lions have, you know, major injury worries. Their linebacking core has been decimated, but still, to destroy man coverage without even targeting Amari Cooper, that is a big statement.
Now let's flip and talk Patriots offense versus Bills defense. We'll find out a little bit more about the health of the Bills defense later today, Wednesday, when we hear from Sean McDermott. When he talked Monday, he was saying, you know, guys are still, they're finding out more about Rasul Douglas, Taylor Rapp, DeMar Hamlin, all who do not play against the Lions. But Bills, you know, still got the win without them. But this is a very different team they're going up now in the Patriots, starting with quarterback Drake May.
Yeah, I think Drake May, the third overall pick out of North Carolina.
Go Heels.
I've watched maybe three Patriots games. He has been shown enough to make them think they have the real deal. He's got a great arm. He can make plays out of structure. He can make spectacular plays. But he needs development.
He,
you know, that was the thing. He was a 2-year starter at North Carolina, needs more time. Does he have the elite pocket presence to win late in the down from the pocket? You know, we'll see. But you know, and that's a question for every college quarterback coming into the NFL, but he's done enough. The problem is they have one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL.
Right.
They probably have to replace 4 out of 5 starters.
Yeah.
Their receiving core is weak. They have one of the worst receiving cores in the league. So, huge problems. You know, Bills defense. Let's talk a little bit about what the Bills defense did against Detroit. Now, it was 35-14.
Yeah.
With 3 minutes and 30 seconds to go in the fourth quarter. So right there, everybody, and the Bills stopped the Lions on 5 of their first 7 drives.
Yeah.
Then the Lions scored 24 points in the last 18 minutes, which is not good. You know, what do you think about, what is your takeaway from the Bills' defensive performance, 42 points allowed?
Yeah, I mean, I think that kind of became the game we always thought it was going to be, and that it was a track meet, basically. I was pleasantly surprised by what the Bills defense did early. You know, they got that three and out to start, forced another punt on the Lions' second possession. But, you know, I wasn't surprised necessarily that the Lions eventually did put up some points. And I think, you know, you look at kind of how many injuries the Bills were dealing with as well during the game. Matt Milano missed some time with an injury. Dorian Williams missed time with an injury.
So three out of four starting defensive backs were out.
Exactly. And, you know, the Lions obviously were dealing with a number of injuries too, but I think
not so much on offense.
Not on offense,
right.
Correct. Yeah. But I think, you know, I'm not surprised necessarily that it ended up being 48-42 despite it being 35-14 at one point. I don't know that that carries over into future games as much just based off who was available.
Yeah, my takeaway is it was a step forward for this defense. Now, you might say, well, there was nowhere to go but up after the Rams game when they never stopped them.
Yeah.
I liked the coaching. They came out, and this is, so some people had been clamoring for them to devote, me included, devote more people to the run front. And they did put 7-8 people in the run box early in the game and shut down the Lions run game. That was good to see. Cole Bishop came up to join the run front. And when the Lions went big people, they brought Dorian Williams in as a 4-3, which they don't like doing.
Yeah.
They don't want, they hate taking Taron Johnson off the field, rightly, but I like that. Let's see a little, let's work Dorian Williams into the lineup a little more. Now, he might have to play this week if Milano's groin is a problem. So that was encouraging. It was a shift in philosophy, or it was an adjustment. The other adjustment they made, they blitz cornerbacks a little more.
How excited were you?
Yes. Oh, my God. I almost jumped off the seat when the second or third play of the game, they blitzed both outside cornerbacks,
yes.
Elam and Benford, seven-man rush, got a sack. I'm not calling for more blitzing. I don't mind that they're, sixth from the bottom in blitz rate. But Spagnuolo, it isn't one of the leading blitzers. But I want to see more more free rushers, more exotic blitz looks. And so that was, by my count, it wasn't the first time they blitzed two cornerbacks. It was the first time they blitzed two outside corners the whole season.
Okay.
Got a sack. They also blitzed Taron Johnson twice in the game, and one of them got a sack. So, or he caused the sack. Anyway, good adjustments from Bobby Babich there. That's encouraging. They have that in their back pocket. Okay, for our third segment this week, let's talk a little bit about postseason awards. Obviously, all the attention among Bills Mafia has been on the MVP race, and Josh Allen certainly is the leader, acknowledged leader at this point with three games to go. Let's talk about two other award races that haven't gotten a lot of attention. That is Coach of the Year, Executive of the Year. Catherine, what do you think? Maybe the Bills should be in the running for some of those or not? What do you think?
I think they should be, but you just look at some of the betting odds, stuff like that. It seems like they're not always in the conversation, which to me is surprising. We'll start with Coach of the Year, Sean McDermott. I think just kind of, you look at all the chatter around this team preseason about, they're without Stephon Diggs, you know, what are they going to do? And now you look at how they're playing, where they're sitting right now at 11-3, and a lot of turnover outside of Diggs as well. You know, this is a really recalibrated team, and I'm so impressed with what they've been doing. So I think he should be in that conversation. You throw in the injuries that they dealt with this year, coaching guys up. I'm really impressed with what McDermott has done.
I agree with that. I don't think many Bills fans really are stumping for McDermott, especially after the end of game thing. I think really, though, that my view of the fans' view of McDermott has to do it. They don't want to hear anything. get them over the hump in the postseason. Yeah. That's the bottom line for McDermott and all Bills fans. He is appreciated, but they want to get farther in the postseason, and that's justified. So really, from the Western New York standpoint, all I want to hear is show it, prove it to me in the postseason as it relates to McDermott. I do think, as you said, he deserves a lot of credit. I think his coaching staff, that it's on the coach to build the coaching staff.
Right.
And really, his whole tenure, he has had a good coaching staff. He's the one who brought Brian Daboll in, who helped develop Josh Allen. That he gets credit for that. Bill Parcells gets credit for having Bill Belichick. Well, Bill Belichick was he was doing all the, you know, a lot of the X's. Well, that's his job. You know what
right.
I mean? And look at this current staff. He promoted Bobby Babich. Who was young. I mean, he passed over John Butler. John Butler left because he wanted to be the defensive coordinator. But Bobby Babich, you know, is a rising young coach, and McDermott picked him. So, and McBabich has done a good job. Aaron Cromer is the offensive line coach, has been, you know, a huge asset to this team. And Joe Brady. He brought in Joe Brady after Daboll left originally. That was a great hire back then. So, but now the realistically, I don't think McDermott has much of a chance. Kevin O'Connell of the Vikings, they've gone from 7-10. They're 12-2 and still might win the NFC North.
Yeah,
now that the Bills knocked off Detroit. I think Kevin O'Connell probably is the overwhelming favorite in that race. Sean Payton has done a great job throwing Russell Wilson overboard, targeting, picking Bo Nix, and they're they're going to make the playoffs. They're 9-5. Dan Quinn of the Washington, they've gone from 4-13 to 9-5. You know, usually the Coach of the Year award goes to a coach who took a bad team and got him into the went from bad to good. And, you know, that's the way I actually was surprised. McDermott has never won it. He maybe could have won it in 2017 when they made the play, ended the drought. But Sean McVay took the Rams from 4-12 to 11-5 that year and certainly deserved that award.
That'll do it. Yeah. So I, to your point, I think it's hard when usually, you know, what the Bills, they're not going from bad to good.
No.
They're going from really good to maybe better.
Right.
So I think that's going to be hard for him to win, even though, again, sounds like we both think he should be in the conversation. Then there's also the Executive of the Year Award. The PFWA gives that out each year, and Brandon Bean did win it in 2020.
Right.
So he, you know, does have one of those under his belt. Do you think he is in the conversation for this?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, the Bills, again, through Stephon, it's not to keep harping on this, but that's $31 million of dead cap space on nobodies that they are swallowing. Then they, the last time I looked, were second, third, or fourth in the league in dead cap space. Kansas City was in the bottom five in dead cap space. So that's like $40 or $50 million Kansas City is devoting in cap space to real people that the Bills are devoting to ghosts. So that, and yet, you know, look at all the buttons they have pushed. You know, Khalil Shakir, you know, a budding superstar. Is that an overstatement? You know, a fifth round draft pick. And, the moves they have made, you know, the trade for Amari Cooper, the reworking of the receiving core, Coleman, drafting a Kincaid, you know, I think he definitely is in the running. I think it's a little more wide open, the Executive of the Year race, whereas the Coach of the Year is, I think it's a lock or a near lock. The, you know, the Lions, you would think maybe, but their GM won it last year.
He did. Brad Holmes was a 2023 winner.
So it probably not. Denver, maybe, you know, that they have overhauled their roster in a great way. I actually credit Sean Payton mostly for that, because he's the one who threw Russell Wilson overboard and moved up to draft Bo Nix. But, you know, George Payton is a consideration. Pittsburgh, a consideration.
Yeah.
Omar Khan. You know, Minnesota. GM. But if Kevin O'Connell's winning the coach, you probably don't want to give the GM. So Bean's got a shot.
He's got a shot. Yeah, and I think both, again, just the fact that they're both in the conversation is a testament to all that the Bills have already accomplished this season and how they're still trending. So we'll be around to cover everything they keep doing, starting with this weekend's game against the Patriots. Make sure you're going to BuffaloNews.com for all of our coverage and for our podcast.
Treat your team to the most flavorful pizza on game day at Picasso's Pizza. 4 great Western New York locations: Williamsville, West Seneca, Lancaster, and Blaisdell. Picasso's. We are Buffalo's Pizza since 1980. Order online today at picassospizza.net.